The tech industry is prone to boom and bust, and right now, well, it's definitely not booming. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. The bad news just keeps coming. It started with hiring freezes, now layoffs, a lot of them. Twitter, Lyft, Stripe, Salesforce, and of course, Meta, cutting thousands of jobs. A turn of events that felt almost inconceivable a year ago, or even a month ago, after a two-decade run in which it felt like the industry was unstoppable. But tech is notorious for booms and busts, and not just the dot-com bubble of the early 2000s. Margaret O'Meara is a professor of history at the University of Washington. She says there are some key similarities and differences.
The most familiar one is the dot-com bust from the early, turn of the millennium, late 80s, early 90s. And if you dial back even earlier to the late 60s, early 70s, with common characteristics are there was a big run-up of stocks. In the 60s, they were called space-age stocks because they were all about electronics that had to do with the space program and defense. And there's also like larger macroeconomic conditions, what the Fed is doing, what incentives investors have to invest. But it also, usually before a bust, there is some, as Alan Greenspan called it, irrational exuberance, too much growth too fast. I think there are two things that are different this time that are really interesting. One is that the last 2.5 years have been an extraordinary time of growth for tech, in large part because of the COVID pandemic. I believe Facebook's headcount doubled since the early 2020. So I think the other thing that's really different about now, as opposed to even 2001, is Silicon Valley, the tech industry, is so much bigger. Like, everything's bigger. The companies are bigger. The products are in every nook and cranny of the economy and of people's lives. So it just has a bigger effect.
Let's talk about that most recent example of the dot-com bust. Take me back to that period. What was kind of the run-up like, and what did Silicon Valley feel like when it all busted?
So the run-up to the dot-com boom, life moved pretty fast. You have in 1994, the first, we have this browser that could be a portal for ordinary mortals to use this newly open thing called the internet. And Netscape comes into being, and within 18 months, it's going public in this huge IPO, which really sets off a stock market boom for internet companies. And so you have companies like eBay and Amazon and a lot of other companies that don't really exist anymore, that have a huge, huge ride on Wall Street. And in the span, by 1999, you have these massive market valuations. And then it all popped. The last glory moment was the Super Bowl in 2000, which was filled with dot-com company ads in a way kind of similar to all those crypto ads that were in this year's Super Bowl. Just saying, if you're watching the Super Bowl and you see lots of companies you've never heard of advertising all at once, that might be a sign that there's a bubble.
And so when the dot-com bubble burst, what was it like to have all of these kind of unemployed tech workers in Silicon Valley?
It was hard. A lot of particularly young people had come to the Bay Area and Seattle and other tech hubs for these jobs at these companies and hoping that they too could get a ride on a rocket ship. And all of a sudden they find themselves unemployed. And some of them stuck around and tried to figure out what to do next. There were happy hours that were called pink slip parties that were supposedly for unemployed people to find prospective new jobs. There weren't really many employers there. It was a lot of unemployed 20-somethings crying into their beer. And, one thing that was a reason for the bust, the dot-com bust, is that everything was growing so fast and it was really outpacing the market. It was outpacing the infrastructure that was there to ship consumer goods that were ordered over the internet, for example. There wasn't the broader internet infrastructure for large-scale commerce and communication that there is now.
And how does an industry kind of regroup from this kind of bubble bursting? How can it affect innovation?
You know, one thing that busts do is they put some oxygen in the atmosphere a little bit. They create space for new companies. I point to Google as the kind of one of the biggest beneficiaries of the dot-com bust. They'd gotten their seed money. They'd gotten $25 million of venture capital in the bank before everything went south. And because the dot-com bubble burst, all of a sudden they can now hire engineers that they couldn't afford before. There was no cloud computing then. You actually had to buy the things to make these powerful search engines go. They were able to buy those from companies that went out of business. This is not to say, oh, this is all great. This is a, you know, happy story. Look, people are losing their jobs. You know, layoffs at a big company ripple out to other companies that are part of that ecosystem that depend on the employees of said company spending money in their shops and their restaurants, right? So I don't want to sort of characterize it as a good news story, but this is a life cycle.
In that last downturn, there were a lot of business ideas that seemed to bomb that kind of ended up coming back around years later. I'm thinking of like grocery delivery. I mean, what does that tell us about what's happening today?
Yeah, it's a good caution for all of us to not be too bold in our predictions. Yeah, a company like, you know, the famous, infamous pets.com, that's one of the classic dot-bomb stories. One of those companies that bought a really expensive ad in the 2000 Super Bowl, and they were doing exactly what Chewy.com and Amazon and do now, which is they're selling dog food and other things on the internet. That's where I buy my dog food. So they're these very tangible material circumstances and logistics that now enable those business models to take flight. And also people are just more used to buying stuff on the internet. So there may well be things that we're rolling our eyes at now that are, you know, the germ of something that's the future. And that's certainly the bet that Mark Zuckerberg is making with Meta and the metaverse.
Margaret O'Meara at the University of Washington. And now for some related links. Margaret O'Meara mentioned those pink slip parties, part networking event for the newly unemployed, part bougie shindig. They were definitely a thing in Silicon Valley after the dot-com bubble burst. We'll link to a Guardian article from way back in 2001 that describes that scene. Typically, if you were someone who's been laid off, you wore a red dot. If you were an employer looking to catch new talent, you wore a green dot. And yellow dots? Well, if you were just there to party, that was the dot for you. Daniel Shin produced today's episode. I'm Megan McCurdy-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.